grateful to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Even if it's not the house of God that you go to normally, are you, or maybe you don't even go to the house of God, are you glad to be here this morning? I am. Because God's presence is here. It says when the saints come together, the presence of God is within us. You know, this year we've just walked into and slipped into 2020. It sounds odd. 2020. We've stepped into it already. But you know, there are things that every single one of us went through last year in 2019. Some of them were good, and some of them were horrible. Some of them were able, if you didn't allow it to, if you had to almost break you and cause you to want to leave this life. But you know, it's by the grace and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ that we're here today in 2020. I've got a message this morning that I'll be getting into, but I think, you know, we need to give God some praise. I don't want to start my message until we start. Can we just stand? And do you know something? God, you would not be here today, and people will question this if they don't believe God or about God, or maybe don't know about it. But you and I would not be here today had it not been for the grace and the mercy and the life of God in this place, moving in and through us and holding all things together, even though it seems like there's a lot of chaos, and there is a lot of chaos going on. It's because of the love and the mercy and the grace of Almighty God that we are here today. He's taken us, if you look back at 2019, He has taken you all the way through things that you might have, that might have destroyed you. Maybe you didn't know about it, but you might have been in a car and didn't realize it, but someone else was on their way and you could have been wiped out. God spared you. That's happened to us a couple of times this past year. Maybe it happened with you. It's not by chance that we're here. And it's like these songs that we're singing and the word that was given, that the testimony of Sue Ellen this morning. And there are things that we've got planned for this year for worship. Not just our church, but for other churches to start coming together and other congregations to start coming together to worship God. Not just to preach, but to worship God. Because He inhabits the praises of His people. Can we spend just a couple of moments, if you could, to give worship and praise to Almighty God? Just put your hands together. Begin to, if you've not done it, well, okay, you're in a crowd that does it, so you might as well just start doing it as well. Put your hands together, lift up your voice, start your time flowing with something, and begin to praise God. He got you through 2019, and He's here today, 2020, to see us through this whole year and all that He has for us. Amen. wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement or the punishment that we should have received and the penalty to go to hell, He took it upon Himself by the stripes that were laid into His body and the nails that pierced His hands and His feet and the spear that went into His side and the crown of thorns that was placed over the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He did it for us, Lord. When You looked out from the cross, You not only looked at the people who were there that day looking up at You on the cross, suffering and dying. Lord, You looked to the future and You saw every person in this room. You saw all the people that were living today in whatever place they live, in whatever conditions they lived in. And You bled and You died. And You rose from the dead. You defeated the grave to bring life. If any man, any woman be in Christ, he is a new creation. She is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You've made us new creatures, Lord God, not only to live this life out on this planet, this blue ball that's floating in space that You put there by Your power, and You sustain it by Your power till the end, because You said the days will be coming for the end of this world. But Lord God, You've created us to live throughout all of eternity, to know and to live and to try to understand all of Your love and Your mercy that is still there to find out. Praise You, Lord. Of You by the power of Your praise. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Come on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. By His stripes we are healed. By His power we're delivered. By His power we're healed. Christ, and we speak to the powers and the strongholds that You've set up in our lives, over our families, over this city, over this nation of Australia, the great south land of the Holy Spirit. We rattle You now, Satan, and we let You know, we remind You that what was done 2,000 years ago plus was done, and it's happening still today. There's freedom. There's freedom. There's freedom in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory. This morning. Hallelujah. Give glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Wonderful Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. You've given us. Hallelujah. Isn't that good news? Glory. Hallelujah. Everything that Satan has devised is a weapon that's been formed against you to destroy your life, to destroy those in your family, to destroy your happiness, to take away your joy. But you know something? In Nehemiah, it says, he says this, the joy of the Lord, not my joy, because my joy changes with the weather. My joy changes with the smoke sometimes. My joy changes with circumstances, but the joy of the Lord is my strength. It's your strength. It never changes. Why? Because it's God's joy, and it comes from Him, and God does not change. Glory. Thank you for the joy that's here today, Lord Jesus. Father, for the chains that are being snapped, have already been snapped in the name of Jesus. As we employ our voices, Lord God, as we start this new year, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Father, we want to see signs, wonders, miracles, Lord God. We want to see people coming together. We want to see people coming together in this place. We want to see people going out of this place into the marketplace, into the workplace, into the schools. Lord Jesus, presenting the gospel of your love, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. You don't have to be old. You don't have to be that young. And you can be young and still do it. Just loving someone in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. You may be seated. I don't feel like ending it, but I need to get maybe... Can you give me just a couple minutes? I promise I won't keep you till 2 o'clock. About 2 o'clock? That okay? Masters of Worship, that's good. That's a good team name. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. If you have your Bibles, very quickly, transition sometimes is hard, but this is going to, I want Holy Spirit, let this flow. Lord, let your word flow this morning. Lord, bring to life your word as it's read And the thoughts, Lord God, that are penned down in this paper that come off my lips, Lord, anoint them with the power of your Spirit, Lord. And rattle. Father, we just pray, rattle. The gates of hell are already being rattled, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Praise God this day. Amen. Look at Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13, and this is what it says. Brethren, brethren is like God's, those who are born again. Brethren actually has a connotation of those, like in a family, those who are birthed out of the same womb. They are brothers and sisters. That's what that word means. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. King James and the New King James and some of the other versions, they're a bit strange, but apprehended simply means sort of like, I'll let you know in a second. Let's finish it. I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I don't want you, and I don't want myself, and God does not want us to enter into the year 2020 carrying stuff from 2019 that have been bugging you, that have been chaining you, that have kept you in darkness and hurt and disparaged and all different kinds of things. And some of us even have things that go back to 2018 and 2017, going way back. God wants you to release those things because he wants us to step into 2020 without any old luggage. Isn't that wonderful? He says that to his disciples. He says, when you go out, he says, don't bring anything with you. Why? Because it'll all be supplied. But leave the old stuff behind. You don't need it. So what am I saying here? And what is Paul trying to say here? The Apostle Paul was writing to the church at Philippi, which is the church that he started. And he's saying all of these things. But he says something interesting because at the time he's writing this, he has been walking with the Lord for about 30 years, thereabouts. Maybe a little bit more, maybe a little bit less. That's a long time to walk with Jesus. But he says here, I do not count myself to have apprehended. In modern terms, it means this. I haven't yet arrived. I don't know it all yet. I've been walking with the Lord probably more than most of the congregation in your life, your years that you've got. But that's okay. But you know something? I can say with Paul, I have not yet apprehended. How can you know a God who knows all things? Even if you're 70 or plus, how can you know all those things? And if you're a real quick, smart, genius kind of a person, you may think you know a lot, but you haven't even scratched the surface. I've not apprehended. I haven't arrived yet. You know what that does for me? Every time I see things and new things and revelation that God gives me, I am humbled even more because I realize that there is a God who created me in his image. And I'm still finding out things, and I'm looking at a mountain, mountains of things, galaxies of things that I don't even know about him yet. How am I going to get there? It's going to take all of eternity. Praise God. So he says here to this point, he's saying, I've come some distance in my walk with Jesus. And that's good. All of us have walked a little bit with Jesus to some distance, even if you're brand spanking born again this day or the last little while. There's still a distance that you've walked. But he says, I have so much further to go. Do you feel that way? You know, every time you read the word, do you feel that way when you get a revelation? God shows you something. For me, I get things sometimes just by looking at, I'm walking, and all of a sudden, something catches my eye. Everybody else would have missed it, but it catches my eye. I like detail. And it catches me. And I think, wow, there's a whole new sermon I've got. I forget what they are now. There's some of them, but I've got stuff written down in my papers and in my journals and stuff like that. I've got stuff that God has showed me. When I spent time with God, God showed me stuff. simple stuff. Some of it's complex stuff. Some of it is just, it gives me pleasure just to know. It expanded my mind about God, our wonderful Creator. You know, we can all come to church and we can go out from this place during the week and we can make ourselves look good. Can't we? Nobody's saying anything, man. This is quiet. You can make yourself look real good. You can smell nice, maybe. You can smell nice. You can look good. You can have your hair done right. You can have nice threads, nice shoes, dress, whatever. But there are things, and you might have come to church. I'm not saying that you did, but this happens to people that come to church. It used to happen when I was a kid with my sister when we were in the car going to church. Man, I tell you, there was fire in the car when we were going to church. And there was yelling and there was a couple of slaps here and there. But when we got to church, hi, brothers and sisters. Your kids are so marvelous. They're so well behaved, you lying things, you. They weren't coming to church. And we put on a good face to hide it all because we're really somewhere down the line, all of us have been a little bit messed up once in a while. And we might have come out of 2019 in some areas, not all, in some areas, a little bit messed up. But you know something? God is faithful. God still loves you. God still loves me. And he has more for you. Wouldn't it be something if we realized and we read in the Bible or we saw from other people's lives that when you go through something that's not good, it's not kosher, it's not Christian-like, that God cut those people off, murdered them, cut their limbs off, did something bad, outcasted them to another nation or maybe stick them on an island somewhere where they can think about it and live in their mess? That's not God. It's when you're right in your mess that God reaches down His grace and His mercy and picks you up. It says, come on home, son. Come on home, daughter. You don't need to be in that place and I can fix your mess up. Come with me. But you have to go. You have to follow God. Don't run away from God. Paul said this again. He says, I haven't arrived yet. You know what that says to me? You know what that says for you? We have hope. Because if Paul didn't arrive, and we've been walking with Christ no matter how long or how little, we are like Paul. We haven't arrived, but we're going there. We're not wiped off. God hasn't finished with us yet. So if God can use Paul, God is not a God who shows partiality. He doesn't have his favorites. I have been in areas of my life, in times past, not to get into any of the details, but I've walked in areas of my life and seasons of my life where I was physically, mentally, emotionally put on the outside. That's okay. I got through it. I didn't realize it then that as I see it today, but God had his hand on me. God has his hand on you as well. And there are times that we can go through that God is not a God who is a partial God. If he does one thing for someone else the way that he's done it and the blessings come out, he will do the same thing for every single person who is called by the name of the Lord in his body. Remember last week I mentioned about the anointing of God? God doesn't have any favorites when it comes to the anointing. This little guy right here, he's not right there now, or any one of us, and these young ladies right here who are my granddaughters, and you young people, any of us, even us older ones, remember Aaron when he was being anointed with the oil for his position and for his appointment as the high priest? They poured the oil of anointing from the top of his head all the way down, and it just rolled. Not like, like I said, we do today, a little dabble, do you? In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then wipe their forehead. It dripped. It kept on dripping. They kept on pouring. It kept on dripping. Down his face, down his beard, all over through his body, all over his clothes, to the tips of his toes. What was that symbolic of? The anointed one and his anointing. If any man be in Christ, he's the anointed one, and his anointing flows through his body. He is not partial. If it flows through him, whoever calls upon his name, it will flow through that person, no matter how bad they ever were, no matter what evil the deeds they ever did. If they call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. And the anointing will flow. That's from Christ, from the head all the way down to the tippy toes. You may feel like a little toe today. I don't know. But you are important. Have you ever had a hangnail or some kind of a thing happen when maybe you had some kind of a sore, even on your little toe? If you play sports or you've done anything like that, it hurts and it affects the body. It affects performance. Well, God knows he needs his whole body. And the anointing, the healing, will go from not only just to heal the fingers because they're more important, or the arms because they're more important, or the legs, or the mind, or the face, or whatever. I'm going for that little toe. Who's that little toe this morning? Don't raise your hand. Who's that little toe that needs the anointing? God spotted you. He's had you in the palm of his hand. Always. His anointing is upon you this morning. He's not partial to you. So he says, I'm not, I've got some hope. So there's something here in this verse, verse 13. There's something here. What does Paul do that we should do? We learn from the scriptures. We learn a lot of things. It says it's for our correction. It's for our reproof. It's for our knowledge of gaining in God and all godly things. And it's to help us get through this life to understand and have God's wisdom that's higher than earthly wisdom. You talk about there's so much learning in today's universities that's far surpassed any university we ever went through in our day and age. Far surpassed. But that's only human wisdom. The wisdom of God far surpasses that kind of wisdom. And that's the kind of wisdom that God says we can have. How is it that we can see a person who's almost broken and they've gone to people to help them out? They've had people try to help them out. And they've had professional people try to help them out with whatever their problems were. And they are no better. They're no better off. And all of a sudden, someone comes along with a word. It may not even be a person that they know. It's something of maybe kindness, or it might be something of a passing word that a Christian would say to another person, and they don't know that they're going through that. They'll say it, and all of a sudden, that word will give them godly wisdom that far surpasses anything they've ever had given to them before, and they're healed. Over and over and over again. Praise God. He does this all the time. Paul says this, and these are the keys. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. I haven't gotten there yet, but, by the way, if I can see anyone's hands, have you made it yet? Have you arrived? No. You're lying if you did. Put your hand up. He says, but one, get this, man, one thing. Got to read books, mountains of books. We got to do this. I got to see these people. We got to do all these kinds of contortional things to get ourselves right with life, to get my mind right. Paul said, but one thing I do. What is the one thing he does? What is the one thing that you do? Because he's done it and it worked. He says, forgetting the cotton-picking thing, not thing, things. What things got you last year? What things got you years before? What things got you when you were a child? Those are the things that Satan has set up to destroy your life and your effectiveness and your influence in this society that we live today to show Christ. And he's got people locked up with those things because they're thinking about those things. They're not forgetting them. They're thinking about those things. So what does he say here? For 2020, going into this year, there's one thing that you can start to do from today, going into 2020, is forget those things that are behind. And what does he say? And reaching forward to those things. You see, there are things that Satan will place you in, circumstances. There are people that have come into your life, and it may not have been a good choice. There are things and situations and circumstantial things that have come into your life because you made a wrong choice or choices, and people might have conned you and seduced you into doing things that were not right for you and to lead you off the beaten path. I tell you something, Satan is out to destroy every life of a Christian, every Christian. He's out to destroy life of even those who don't know Christ. He's out to destroy mankind. It says in John 10:10, the thief, that means Satan, the thief comes to steal. Have you had stuff stolen out of your life? To kill. Have you had things that died and were killed in your life? And to destroy things in your life. Things that were good, that you started off with, that God gave you, and he stole them. But you know something? It says in the Word of God that a thief has to pay back when they're caught. How do you catch the thief? You catch the thief by knowing the policeman. That's Jesus. He's the one that's able to find that person. You know, there are things that each of us are carrying, and I'm trying to hurry this thing up. There are things that all of us go through, whatever they are. And I say this with such compassion because I've had to weep over my life and realize there were things in my life that my shoulders, my framework, not only physically, but mentally, I am not able to carry. I'm not made that way. Satan tries to put chains of darkness. We were not made to carry chains of darkness. We were not made to uphold strongholds that he's pressing down to crush and smother us. That's how he works. He doesn't care if they're children. He doesn't care if they're babies. He doesn't care if you're an older, wiser Christian. He'll try to destroy your life if you allow him. But God says otherwise. There's no weapon formed against you that shall prosper. And every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you condemn it. For this is the heritage. We've got a heritage, friends. It's not your old heritage. God's talking about the heritage we have in God through Christ. I have the richest father that anyone could ever have. And if you're born again, so do you. When you get on a plane next time, or when you get on a trolley, or if you're going around somewhere, or in the shop and you start talking to someone, and they start talking about, well, where do you come from? And who's, you know, tell them who you are. And tell them how rich your pappy is. And tell them all the things that he's been giving you. And how much more is coming. They'll open their eyes and they'll want to know you. Even if they find out that you're talking about God, because they'll see, they'll sense something in your life about God that they do not have. So what we're talking, it's so important if we can have that, just keep that verse up there, sweet. I'm going to hurry up here because there's something I do want to get to. What you've come out of last year, like most people don't know. Maybe your wife doesn't know if you're married. Maybe your husband doesn't know. Maybe your kids don't know. Maybe people that you have friendships with, maybe they don't know what you've gone through. It's sort of like you've covered it. You might be ashamed. It might be too heavy. You might feel like they're going to reject you and that's going to come on you. Forget those things which are behind. You know, it's like that rearview mirror. The rearview mirror on a car is only this big. And it's right in the front. Isn't that a wonderful position to see the back? But how big is the windscreen? It goes right across. Why is it such a difference in size? Because you need to see where you're going, not where you've come from. You need to look back and say, thank you, God, I'm out of here. I'm not going back there again. There's a song that says that too. I don't want to go back where I came from. So we start looking through the windscreen of life, and that's the Bible. That's the Word of God. That's the revelation that God gives us in this life. And it causes us to move forward, reaching for those things that are precious and beyond description, things that we never even thought were around that God has planned for us. You know, we're not just talking about when we get to heaven. That's what I like about the Bible. The Bible says that He has things for us throughout eternity, but eternity now is part of eternity as well. Don't wait till you get to heaven to praise God. Start praising Him now. Don't start and walking the straight and narrow road later. Start walking it now, because as you start walking through the straight and narrow, God has a marvelous way of opening up the path that was so constricted to cause you to walk through. Just like the people when they were crossing the Red Sea, there was no way in front of them. But when God spoke and God's anointing began to move, and He says, Moses, raise your rod over the sea, and all of a sudden, so someone's holding a stick. What a dummy. All of a sudden, the anointing of God and made a way where there was no way. It was a constricted way. The enemy was behind again. He's always behind. He's chasing your tail all the time. It's going to happen to you. Something bad's going to happen to you. Yes, you may be looking at something that's following that's bad. But who are you looking at? Are you looking at the bad thing or the one who needs to lead you? Follow the leader. Follow the leader. That's Jesus. Praise God. I want us to look at one more verse of Scripture, and it's found in Genesis chapter 19. There's a few verses to read, but I'll close with this. There's one thing that we all can do, and that's just to leave 2000 and the things that are there 2019. I want us to look at Lot and Mrs. Lot this morning, real quick. It says here, you know the story. Who does not know the story of Sodom and Gomorrah and Lot and his family asked to leave that place because God was going to cause fire and brimstone to wipe it out? And did you know that even today, the Sodom and Gomorrah, those spots, they are still vacant of life? There are the traces, not only traces, there's brimstone and stuff that's been completely annihilated in that place. Even to this day, this story is true. It's not just a story. Then the men said to Lot, now, Sodom and Gomorrah was a place where there was homosexuality, all kinds of debauchery, all kinds of sin. It was rampant. But we shouldn't talk about that today. Yes, we should. Yes, we should, because the Bible says it. Lot was living in a place where there was great, great sin. Part of the sin was homosexuality. Part of the sin was lesbianism. Part of the sin was the things that they did with their bodies that were an abhorrence to the Lord God Almighty, how He made them to function. It says, then the men said to Lot, have you anyone else here, son-in-law, your sons, daughters, whomever you have in the city, take them out of this place. These are the angels talking to Lot. For we will destroy this place because the outcry against them has grown great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. People will look, and when you start talking about there's judgment and what you're doing is wrong, they will laugh, they will torment you. If legality is a setup, they will put you in jail. But that does not change what God will do. Be His servant. What is he saying here? So Lot went out and spoke to the sons, his sons-in-law, who had married his daughters, and said, "Get up. Get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city." But to his sons-in-law, he seemed to be joking. He did not carry any authority. Because he's just living around all the junk. He lost. He became salt that was saltless. When the morning dawned, the angels urged Lot to carry, saying, to hurry up, brother, saying, "Arise, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be consumed in the punishment of this city." Next, please. And while he lingered, did you ever linger when God has been saying something to you? Don't go there no more. Don't do this anymore. Don't say that anymore. And when I'm talking to you, I'm talking to me. So don't, you know, I'm not Mr. Holy here. What about it? Have you ever lingered when God's been saying not to do something or to get out or stop doing this? Don't go there. Don't hang around with those people. Don't get that stuff. Don't get out of that habit. Get out of those places where all that stuff's going on. He's saying it for a reason. The men took hold of his hands. The angels took hold of his hand, his wife's hand, and the hands of his two daughters. The Lord being merciful to him, they brought him out and set him outside the city. So it came to pass when they had brought them outside, that he said, "Escape for your life. Do not look behind you." We just come out of a year. Is God saying, don't look behind you? Don't look behind you. Stay anywhere in the plain or in that area. Even around the area is bad enough. Why? You know, an alcoholic has a hard time even with the smell of alcohol, even if they're down the block and they can smell it. A person who's addicted to cigarettes, that's all they have to do is woof it, even if it's on the beach. And they start having the I need one. Because they're addicted. Don't look behind or stay anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest you be destroyed. You see, all the time God's saying, I want to save you. Then Lot said to them, "Please, no, my lords. Indeed, now your servant has found favor in your sight, and you have increased your mercy, which you have shown me by saving my life. But I cannot escape to the mountains, lest some evil overtake me or I die." Get a life. Did you ever give excuses to God? "Oh, but God, I can't leave this job. Oh, but God, I can't leave those people. They need me. I love those people. They love me." And they're the worst things in your life. And the places where they are the worst places that your life could be in. Remember, I'm talking not only to you, but I'm talking to me. I've already talked to myself this morning and making preparation during the last while with this. He says, "So see now, this city is near enough to where they were. The city is near enough to flee to, and it is a little one. Please let me escape there. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live." Just far enough away so after it's all over, I can jump back in. Have you been there before? It's getting real quiet. We all have. Don't be afraid. We all have. And he said to him, "See, I have favored you concerning this thing also, in that I will not overthrow this city for which you have spoken." God will listen. God will have mercy and grace. Hurry. Have you ever felt that inside as the Holy Spirit saying, "Hurry, hurry, get out of there. Get out of that situation. Get away from those people. Get out of that habit. Hurry." Therefore, the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun had risen upon the earth when Lot entered Zoar. Then the Lord rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. Now, where did it come from? From the Lord. The things that he set up, that he created, they come from the Lord. So he overthrew those cities, all the plain, all the inhabitants of the cities, and what grew on the ground. God always takes care. He has to. Sin, God is a consuming fire, and his fire will consume sin. It's not that he wants to kill people, but he has to destroy sin. And if you've got tags on you that are saying, I'm full of sin, they have to be, those tags have to be destroyed. It's not that God wants to, but there's an enemy that he's destroying as well. But his wife looked back behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. They have some pillars that are there in this area that they say that was actually Lot's wife. I'm not quite sure. I don't know exactly what she did. She did turn into a pillar of salt, because it said so. But she died because she looked back. Do you think there's any reason why the sermon's coming out today at the beginning of this year? And there's been an unction and an urgency on every single person, whether you're from this church or not, that there's been an urgency that God's been speaking out into your, not these mud flaps, but speaking into your spirit, man, what to do and where to go and to get away and to change things that you've not changed, that need desperately to be changed. But you're still looking in the rearview mirror when God says, look through. Look through the windscreen where I'm bringing you to. And Abraham went early in the morning to the place where he had stood before the Lord. Then he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah. Can you just imagine this? And toward all the land of the plain, and he saw, and behold, the smoke of the land which went up like the smoke of a furnace. All were perished. Reminds me of another story. Is that the last? And it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, where he overthrew the cities in which Lot had dwelt. It reminds me, and I'm going to close with this. It reminds me of the story of Noah, and I've shared this before. And it was a very powerful statement that was made. While all the time that Noah was building the ark, and there was a flood, the world shows it. Every continent has a description of a flood in their own language and in their own ways of speaking it out. And they all say the eight. It was eight people that came out of the boat. And there are layers of trauma that the world went through. And the reason why we're going, the world goes 23 degrees this way and 23 and a half degrees this way, is because God almost had this world destroyed. Save Noah. That's why we're closer to the sun. Australia is the southern hemisphere, is closer to the sun, and we're actually pivoted down this way toward the sun. And the northern hemisphere, they're actually backing away, and they're further away from the sun when they see and receive the heat from the sun and the light. But it's the wobbling, how close we came to being wiped out. The whole time Noah was building the ark and he was telling people there's a flood, God's going to destroy the world, they were laughing. They were mocking. They saw the structure that only God's wisdom in a man would be able to put that thing together. The size, the immensity, the precision of what they did in that time. And all those years, 100+ years, Noah telling them, God is going to destroy the world. Get ready. Get yourself in this boat. It says that there was a point in Noah's life that toward the end, when they were mocking him, and there was still a little bit more to build, he looked at all of those people. Like, remember Jesus, when he looked at Jerusalem, and he wept because they were like sheep that were scattered by the devil. He looked, Noah looked at those people that were mocking him, building this huge ark. He looked at those people as though, listen, as though they were already dead. That's strong, man. What changes my heart is when I go out and I've been talking to people, I've been looking for circumstances, I've been looking for God opportunities to talk to people to show the kindness and the love of Jesus Christ. But I'm looking at people just the way Noah was looking at people. We're almost, this world's almost out of time. And if you want to mock and laugh at that one, go ahead. Because there ain't much time left. Jesus is coming just the way he said. And he's taken us up first. And then all of these other things that God said, that this world will burn with fervent heat. Everything in it that man has ever created will be melted away to nothing. Vaporized to nothing. Do some research on the book of Revelation. That's pending, friends. That's pending right now. So to me, what that does is it charges me up even more. I don't want to just live in a house that is nice and drive a car that's nice, but I want to use my life to do something for Christ. I want to let people know about salvation. I want to let people who are down in the out, who are outcasts, not just the outcasts, but the people even that are the outcasts, who everybody passes them by. Love you, son. Jesus loves you. Like that one black kid when I saw him at the beach, went over to him. All by himself, a homeless kid, a homeless man, probably 40, 38, something like that. Turned to me. I turned to him. He spoke French. I didn't know that, but the more we talked, I realized that, you know, it's not sort of coming through. And I began to tell him how much God loves him. I says, "Do you know Jesus?" He says, "I go to church, Anglican." I guess that's where he gets his help as well. But I says, "God loves you." I says, "And we love you." And I gave him one of those sticks of dynamite, this salvation and healing package, little scripts. And, you know, it's stuff like that. We've got to start reaching out to people. You know, people that are behind that have this faith, they're doing okay, and they got the music roaring, and you walk down Crown Street, and they got all these things. People are making money, and they've got, and all these girls and guys are just, it's everything, let's just have a good time. They don't realize it. They're walking like dead people. Because in a moment, in a flash, just like Sodom and Gomorrah, that stuff came. God warned them. There's something else that is coming, and it's pending. Jesus said there's judgment that is coming, but there's a way out of that judgment, and it's to know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. Man, I'm sorry, man. Sometimes I feel like I'm better off going to Africa because they're like long preaching, like 3 hours, 4 hours. Would you be awake? That's all right. Sorry. And you've done well. I do appreciate that. All of you, we love you dearly, and we're not in Africa. This is our nation. So I appreciate you not vacating like 5 minutes or 10 minutes ago. But just let me close in prayer and have some fellowship before we leave. Father God, we just want to thank you today for the power of your worship. Coming from ourselves, Lord God, to worship you, you inhabit the praises of your people. And Lord, we want to thank you for the power of your word that changes lives. It causes our eyes, spiritual eyes, to be open so that we know where we are to go, what we're to do, and it will cause others to look at us and say, how do they know where they're going? How do they know what to do? How do they know how to live without getting sick? Or if they get sick, they get healed. Father, we want to praise you and thank you that you called us to be salt to this earth, to be light to be hung up high so that we'll draw people to you, Lord. And I pray, Lord God, that this is a year, Lord God, that is going to be a powerful year that's changing things, that's going to change things in this city, in this nation, and around the world. And we give you the praise and we give you the glory in Jesus' precious name. And all the saints said,